And good morning. And with us today is Brian Hines. And Brian made the front page of the Statesman Journal on the Sunday paper. And so I'd like to invite you in, Brian, to talk about what led to this story.
Well, Ken, thanks. Yeah, it's a, you know, a kind of a lengthy story that I'll try to, we'll make as brief as possible. I mean, I guess the first thing I want to say is I'll get the plug for my blog out of the way, and the plug is necessary because all the information about this case, Mayor Hoy, and the controversial things she did that led to an investigation by the Oregon Government Ethics Commission is detailed in a couple of blog posts that are at the top of SalemPoliticalSnark.com. So if I get anything mistaken, which I might, because the details are sometimes hard to remember, you know, just go there. And as you mentioned, there's a nice Statesman Journal story and a Salem Reporter story on this issue also. So, yeah, just to get us, kick us off, yeah, the why do we even care about what Mayor Hoy did and her being found guilty of an infraction of the public meetings law by the investigator from the Ethics Commission? And the way I see it is like the public meetings and just government in general, it's like the proverbial tip of the iceberg. As much of the iceberg should be visible to the public as possible. You know, we know that there's always going to be things below the surface that aren't evident in a public meeting that is often televised, or at least people can go in and watch it, that there will be conversations, there will be discussions, there will be talks with constituents, there will be talks among the city councilors themselves. And that's fine up to a point. But the point of Oregon's public meeting law is that as much of that iceberg should be above the surface and open to public view as possible, because that's the foundation of our democracy, that people can know what their government is doing, what their elected officials are doing, and they can take part in all of that.
Well, so, sometimes they do have executive sessions which are closed to the public because maybe there's some sort of legal thing going on that they need to discuss with the city attorney. But other than that, it's supposed to be at public meetings, is my understanding.
Yes. And even executive sessions, the journalists can attend. They're kind of sworn to secrecy to not describe what they see in the executive session. But the executive session is publicized. There's a meeting notice of it. There are, I gather, minutes that are not publicized, but they exist. And that's the problem with this case, that Mayor Hoy pretty clearly wanted the city manager at the time, Keith Staley, gone. She wanted him to resign.
And this is shortly after she was elected and sworn in. I mean, she had only been mayor for, what, a month or so?
Well, this was, yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. It was the first week of February of this year, 2025, and I believe she has a two-year term. Yes, so that would have been, she would have taken
started
office
in January
1st, yeah, of 2025, and she goes through the end of 2026. There will be an election in May of 2026 for mayor. And as you know, she's running against Vanessa Nordyke and perhaps others. So the mayor is only elected for two-year terms, unlike city council seats. They're four-year terms. So so that makes this important because people should keep in mind, you know, for right or wrong, whatever you believe what I'm saying or not, you know, it's important information for the voters of Salem to know what their mayor is not only accused of doing, but was found through a thorough investigation by the Ethics Oregon Government Ethics Commission of doing. So the way it came to my attention was that I went, wow. After Keith Staley resigned on, I believe it was the first Friday, February 7th, I believe, or yeah.
Yeah, whatever. It was February 7th.
I may get the right wrong. I think it was February 7th, or it was a Saturday. in early February. I go, how did that happen? And there were reports in the media that he resigned after Linda Nishioka, the council president, told him that a majority of the city council wanted him to resign. So he, not surprisingly, the city manager had just undergone a performance audit that showed some deficiencies in his management style. But I don't believe that there was, I'm pretty sure, there'd never been an opportunity for him to respond to those deficiencies, that they were, there was going to be a committee hearing of the city council where the performance audit would be discussed. But here he is presented with the council president telling him that a majority of the city council wanted him to resign. So that Sunday, the 9th, he did resign after talking with his family, I'm sure. He came from Olympia. He probably, I believe he, well, he was living here. He probably bought a house. And so it was a big deal, you know, for him to have to decide, because I knew of no indication that he was unhappy here or that he...
And he'd only been here 3 years.
A couple of years, yeah. Yeah. So then, you know, what made the story, what caught my attention and that of a bunch of other people who urged me to file an ethics complaint is that the information that Linda Nishioka, the council president, Councillor Nishioka, had came from Mayor Julie Hoy, who had spent the previous week, and mostly these communications, I believe they were phone conversations, either mostly or entirely, with other city councilors, occurred during that week, where she was asking each of the councilors individually in private, which formed the basis of the investigation by the Ethics Commission, you know, to make a slight detour here. We all know, if you've been to public meetings, particularly in the past, that because the Oregon legislature only a couple of years ago passed a law that prevented this from happening. But I have seen this, and maybe you have too, Ken, where you go to a meeting of the city council, to use the most specific example, and let's say there's some controversial subject coming up and people have been testifying for or against it, and they've been putting in comments, and then the mayor says, and we'll just call it controversial subject, well, we've come to the agenda item of the controversial subject. Is there any discussion? Okay, hearing none, I believe we have a motion from Councillor
so-and-so
Smith. And the Councillor Smith reads the motion. I recommend that we approve this controversial subject. All in favor? Aye. Everybody votes aye. And then you're sitting there and you're going, what? This was a controversial subject. How did they come to this conclusion, this vote, so fast? Well, in the past, before the legislature passed a law prohibiting serial communications, which really means talking among themselves in private, the city councilors talking among themselves in private with the goal of arriving at a decision on a subject that is within the city council's purview, authority to make, that is prohibited, because that goes against, that is, to use the tip of the iceberg analogy, that is making the public process under the surface where it can't be seen, and all that's seen is the final decision where people go, aye, let's approve it. And people go, how could you do this when there was no discussion? Well, the discussion occurred outside the public eye. And so what Mayor Hoy did was take the discussion of whether the city manager, Keith Staley, should remain in office in his position, because the city council only has one employee that they directly hire or fire, and that is the city manager. And it seems clear that Mayor Hoy had problems, and we can surmise about what those problems were with Mr. Staley, but she wanted him gone. So she undertook these private conversations, then told, after she had these interviews, communications with 7 of the 8 city councilors. There was one seat vacant at the time, which was Mayor Hoy's, because she became mayor after leaving the city council. And so that was the prohibited serial communication. Now that, as I said in my most recent blog post, was bad. Now, and then we can get into the more interesting point I mean, they're both interesting, the bad and what I call the worse.
Well, okay, so...
But let's stick with the bad for now. Go ahead.
Yeah, and because the thing is that this was a fairly new law that the legislature had passed because they had seen people taking advantage and not having the discussion in public is the way I'm looking at this. And that's real important for people to understand why something is happening and have given them an opportunity to discuss it in public as well. So I think that is an important thing that needs to be moderated, if you will. And I think the legislature made a good decision on that, about making sure that you don't have serial talking among city council or, you know, county board of supervisors or whoever, making a decision outside the public's purview and or view of what's going on in those instances. So I think that is a very important thing to have. And I would imagine they weren't real sure about maybe the new law, but I would imagine that the city attorney probably gave them some guidance on this, maybe when it came up. I don't know when that would have been, but I would suspect that Mayor Hoy would have at least talked to the city attorney.
Well, she did. And my understanding is that there was training provided to the city council in 2024 or early 2025, one or the other. They did have training in this new law. So Mayor Hoy should have known about it, as did all of the city councilors. And she did ask the city attorney, Dan Acheson, if it was okay for her to talk individually with each of the members of the city council. And City Attorney Acheson, strangely, in my view, told her it was okay. There was some caveat that I can't remember the detail, because in my complaint, I had to send it to the city. I mean, this just shows, you know, all the steps that had to be gone through and how this is not a frivolous thing to get a complaint investigated by the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. You know, I spent days working on the complaint. There was another person, Elliot Lapinel, who independently filed a similar complaint. So there were two of us on our own who had the same idea to file an ethics complaint about the serial communication and also the lack of a public notice of the meeting that never occurred. So that went on, you know. So Hoy's defense was that the city attorney said it was okay. Now, so that's what makes it bad, but perhaps understandable, you know. But to me, the fact that she lied about what happened in the meeting makes it worse. But you're right that there were trainings, you know, they knew it. And what I wanted to point out is that there was misinformation going around after this fiasco in February, where I'd see both city councilors and also people from the I know that T.J. Sullivan of the Salem Main Street Association was quoted as saying, oh, the crazy ethics commission has said that it's now illegal. Or he said, like, we can't have a meeting to talk about downtown safety and have a city councilor there, because if anybody comes up and talks with a city councilor about their views about downtown, that could be a serial communication and it's illegal. And I thought, no, it's not. And the Ethics Commission told him it's not. It requires a majority of the city council to be working together, you know, talking about a specific subject that is being deliberated upon, you know, not just information about what's happening in downtown. So there was this effort, you know, by some people to make it sound like this is some crazy new law that those bureaucrats in Salem came up with that's preventing city councilors from talking with their constituents. And it was obvious to me and to anyone that actually read the law and the associated Oregon Administrative Rule that that is not what it meant, again.
Well, that would be ridiculous, that you couldn't even talk to a citizen to see how they view something.
Right.
I mean, if you're a city councilor, you go to neighborhood association meetings and people are talking about issues in their particular neighborhood. What, they're not supposed to attend those and get information about what's going on in their district?
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's a ridiculous view. At least I would think it would be pretty ridiculous if that was what the case was, you know,
right,
where they couldn't even talk to citizens.
Well, to me, and we don't want to get into national politics here, but I T.J. Sullivan, somebody sent me a video of him testifying at a state council meeting where he said he didn't mention my name or Mr. Lapinel's name, but he just said, you know, those people that filed the complaint against Hoy, they aren't welcome in downtown anymore. And I thought, oh, yeah? Well, who says? I'm down there three times a week going to my Tai Chi class on Court Street. You know, we still live in a country where free speech exists. I can file an ethics complaint. And I wanted to say to Mr. Sullivan, if he happens to be listening to your show, that the complaint that I filed has just been found to be true by the Ethics Commission. So much for... Yeah, I hope I'm still welcome in downtown, and that every time I pay $3.35 to park, you know, with my parking app, I'm welcome. But anyway, you know, wherever we want to go from here, we've established that she was found, that ethics.
Well, not just her, but the five members of the city council were also involved in this complaint, and. One of the questions, see, that I had early on was two of the members, Matthews and Brown, had just been elected. So they'd only been sworn in like that previous month.
Yes.
So they probably haven't formed very much of an opinion about what's going on. I don't even know if they had read the ethics report or not, or not the ethics report, but the report about city management and like that. And then Linda herself claims that she was not contacted before this. She was just told that a majority of the city council backed getting rid of the city manager. So that's three people right there, and one of the seats is vacant. So, I mean, it kind of strains credibility that she wouldn't have wanted to at least check and see what was going on. You know, because to me, just the numbers alone kind of indicate that it would be rather iffy that there would be a majority on the city council.
Well, yes. When I filed my complaint, we didn't know, one, I didn't know how many people Mayor Hoy had talked with. I emailed all of the members of the city council who hadn't, including those who hadn't indicated whether they talked with Hoy. And within about 45 minutes of me sending out the email, I got an email from the city attorney, the aforementioned Dan Acheson, saying, "Dear Mr. Hines, basically, I've instructed the city council not to respond to your email because this is a subject of ongoing litigation, basically." So I wasn't able to find out how many people she had talked with. And, of course, I'd said in my email, "I don't want to know what you said to Mayor Hoy. I just want to know if you talked with her." And so at the time, it took quite a while for this to come out. And actually, until the investigator had interviews with each of the members of the city council. Like you said, there were five. There were eight in total. Eight. There were only seven.
Seven city councilors and the mayor.
Because one was vacant,
gets the vote.
Plus the mayor. So there were eight votes on the city council. A majority is five. So you and I, even though we're old, and I can kind of do this in my head, the mayor obviously wanted Staley, the city manager, to be gone. She needs five votes to constitute a majority. So four of the remaining six had to be in favor of Staley resigning. Now, as I showed in the blog post, I got files from the investigator last week, individual PDF files for each one of the seven people involved. The five people, Hoy and five city councilors, were implicated in the serial communications. Now, it's important to point out that Hoy was the ringleader. She was the one that called up the members of the city council and talked with them about Staley's employment status and the performance audit. They didn't know, I'm certain, that they, or virtually certain, they didn't know that she was talking with everybody. And maybe they should have recognized that this was a danger of being a serial communication. But I can completely understand why the mayor calls up, wants your opinion on something, and you don't know that you are part, she's the ringleader of essentially a, I don't know if right to call it a plot, but it's an effort.
Well,
to get
she instigated it.
Yes, she instigated it. So they got roped into it because you can understand that the ethics committee investigation can only follow the law. Lying is not against the law. If it was, you know, there would be innumerable politicians
in jail. We'd have to have a bigger...
And there aren't, yeah. including our president, I just have to note. So that is, you know, so that happened. But then in the investigation, and now we move into the, you know, to me the most interesting part, they didn't know. I didn't know at the time either how many had talked with Hoy or what they had said. There was just some... Since public statements had been reported by the Salem Reporter and Statesman Journal. And so I knew that several of them did not want Staley to go. The investigator, who was very competent, talked with each of them. And in his PDF files I got, he had a statement called Name of Counselor Participation, a couple of paragraphs there, which I, on my blog, I copied in that section. And then I included excerpts from it, the pertinent excerpt that showed what they said about their meeting, their conversation with Mayor Hoy. And it turns out, without going into the details, because I can't remember the details of each one anyway, that rather than the majority of the city council wanting Keith Staley to resign, there were precisely zero members of the city council that wanted him to resign, other than apparently Mayor Hoy. So bluntly put, but I think accurately put, Mayor Hoy lied about when she told Linda Nishioka, Councillor Nishioka, that a majority of the city council wanted Staley to resign. He then did resign, and that kicked off, you know, an executive session on that Monday, which I believe was the 10th of the city council, where his resignation was accepted.
It would have been the 9th.
Or the 9th.
Yeah, because the 7th was the Saturday when he resigned, and so the 9th would have been the Monday.
Right. So it all happened quickly. There was a city council meeting happening that time. So, you know, and as I said in my blog post, it's a mystery to me why they so – we don't know what happened in the executive session. Like I said, journalists can't report on it, and nobody – can talk about it, apparently. I guess I want to get this in because I brought it here, the one little quote that I wanted to share, because it just shows how bizarre this whole situation is. I believe, I'm pretty sure that this came from the law firm that responded to my initial complaint. And it was approved by the city of Salem because the city of Salem hired the law firm. And I'm sure City Attorney Atchison probably wrote this because I, at the time, I thought that, or I surmised that it was possible that the majority of the city council really did want Staley to resign and that they accepted his resignation because a majority did. Now we know, even though I said we aren't certain about that, that they didn't want him to resign. So the city of Salem said this, and if anybody's confused about this as I read this one sentence, don't worry about your mind. You know, you're not going crazy, because I've read it many times and I still can't understand it. But this just shows how weird this whole thing came to be when it came to accepting the city manager's resignation. The city of Salem said the council vote to deem that the resignation was made at the request of council did not, nor was it intended to, suggest that the council collectively asked for the former city manager's resignation. Now, to put that in more or less English,
yeah.
it was that in the executive session or in the council meeting, I'm not sure which because I haven't watched that meeting, they voted to accept the city manager's resignation. And that acceptance of the resignation isn't intended to suggest that the council, a majority of the council, asked for the former city manager's resignation. Well, but a majority voted to accept his resignation. However, nobody asked for it. It just kind of magically happened. Well, we know that it happened because Mayor Hoy lied to Linda Nishioka and told her that a majority wanted him to resign.
Well, okay. So actually, you had sent me your blog post.
Yes.
And so I'm going to read what each of those counselors said to the investigator. Okay. And I'm just going to read the part about what they actually said. And Deanna Gwynn stated that when Julie Hoy told her that Keith Staley might be tendering his resignation, she expressed her surprise but did not give an opinion on the matter. Vanessa Nordyke, Julie Hoy expressed that she wanted Keith Staley to resign, and Vanessa Nordyke stated that she did not believe his resignation was necessary. And she suggested postponing any action until after the Levy election. And let's see, who else? Oh, Mickey Varney stated that she had a lot of concerns that should be discussed with City Council when the audit was released. And she told Julie Hoy that she needed more information before making a decision about his employment. And Irvin Brown said he didn't even remember any conversation that he had with Julie Hoy. And so, and he was not part of the five that were considered part of this serial complaint. And Shane Matthews, Julie Hoy told Shane Matthews that she had been speaking with other counselors about the matters. And during that conversation, Shane told Julie Hoy that he didn't have enough time to form an opinion. And let's see, Paul Teagan. She told Paul Teagan that it was time for the city manager to go, and that she had not, and he told her that he hadn't read the leadership audit yet and had not formed an opinion on the matter. And so that just kind of goes to show that most of the city council members, at least in their testimony to the investigator, they hadn't formed their opinion yet. So it seems to me that, and this is my opinion, that that should have been the topic of the discussion before they asked him to resign at an executive session so that they could check to see how people felt about it, not this serial business that we've been talking about. And like I was saying, Linda should have known that there weren't probably enough votes there. And when she was told by the city attorney that she couldn't check with everybody to see, because that would be an ethics violation, that kind of prevented her from checking. But I don't know. It just seems very strange that she would just kind of go and talk to the city manager about this. But she was the council president at the time, and I guess the mayor directed her to relay that information. It's hard to tell from the actual testimony.
Well, yes. No, it's clear that Mayor Hoy, the last person, counselor, she talked with was Linda Nishioka, the council president. And the she that you referred to in your comment was Linda Nishioka. I want to make clear that
it wasn't
the mayor. That Linda Nishioka asked, the investigator found that Nishioka had asked a city attorney, Atchison, if she could contact each of the city councilors to confirm that what Mayor Hoy was saying was true, the majority truly wanted him to resign. And bizarrely, the city attorney, Atchison, who had previously told Hoy that it was okay to go ahead and contact each of the city councilors, then told Nishioka that she couldn't contact the city councilors because that would be a serial communication. So he allowed a serial communication from Hoy, and he forbade a serial communication from Nishioka, even though Nishioka wasn't trying to arrive at a decision. She was trying to confirm whether what Hoy said was true. So Atchison really screwed up. which shows that you should not believe the city attorney in all things.
Well, the other,
so that was one point. And then when they get into this, I just want to, before I forget this, say that what I can't understand is, I said in the blog post, at the executive session, this may have happened, and I don't know whether it did or didn't. You would think that one of the city councilors would have said, well, hey, before we go ahead with a vote on whether to accept his resignation, let's just have a show of hands about how many people either now want him to resign or told Mayor Hoy that you wanted him to resign. And it's pretty clearly on that second question, no hands would have gone up except Mayor Hoy herself, because like you just read, none of them wanted at that time for the city manager to resign. So the question is, why did they accept his resignation? And my theory is, there we get into, you know, I love spy novels and conspiracies. We're just getting into conjecture because we don't know what happened there. My theory, which I expressed in the blog post, was that they wanted to sweep it under the rug and keep it as quiet as possible, maybe because that Staley did have some performance issues. But we have to remember is that we don't know what would have happened. Even if he'd had an opportunity to talk about those performance problems, if he'd had an opportunity to correct them, because I've heard from a number of people that thought he was a competent city manager. My understanding of how he performed, I saw him speak at a city club just before he resigned, where he was plugging the levy, the livability levy, for funds for the library and the Center 50 Plus and the parks. He just sounded like somebody that liked his job and wanted to stay in his job. So my feeling, some of the city councilors were quoted as saying that they did not want to interfere with the public perception of the city of Salem before the May election, election. And so it's possible that they just decided he's resigned, let's just accept it. And that's where you got the weird statement from the city of Salem that we've accepted his resignation, but the resignation did not occur because the majority of the council wanted him to resign, because that would have been an admission, which at the time the city of Salem was denying that Nishioka had, essentially it was Staley that said in his resignation letter that I resigned after Nishioka told me that she represented the city council and a majority of the city council, and, you know, implying that Nishioka had told him that a majority wanted him to go. So the whole thing, just kind of using the iceberg and the tip again, there's more, why, which just gets us to the most basic question, why did Hoy do this at all? Why didn't she go through an open process of having a committee here review the performance audit, of discussing his employment status, Staley's in an executive session, you know, of maybe getting public comments on how he's doing, on hearing. But it didn't. She, for some reason, took upon herself to do something that turned out to be illegal. And why did she do this? You know, and was this only her own idea? Was she pressured to do it by some of her constituents or you know, powerful people in Salem? I have no idea, but there's more to investigate for sure.
Well, it seems like, at minimum, there's going to be a lot of distrust on the city council about anything that comes up. And because if you can't trust somebody telling you something, I mean, it's going to create other issues as you go along. And since the mayor has another year plus in office, that's going to lead to, I just think it's going to lead to problems, you know, where people won't believe maybe what she's telling them. And it might be hard to do things when you don't really know what's going on. And so that's just my opinion, that it would seem to me to be a real source of distrust on the city council at this point.
Oh, I agree. You know, the investigator got emails and texts that were exchanged between city council members, and there were you know, I can't remember all the details, but there were talks of filing a lawsuit against Hoy, and that was rejected as being impractical. There was, I believe Nishioka, I need to check on this, but I'm pretty sure Nishioka said Hoy lied. I don't know what she lied about, but I assume she's.
This is what she was lying about.
We don't know what she. I believe, I take it to mean that she lied about when she told Nishioka the majority of the council wanted him to resign. And I guess, flipping back to a bigger picture here, I mean, this is the way I see it, and I think a lot of people maybe agree with me, that we know our national politics is a mess. We know Oregon politics, to me, it's less of a mess, but it's still messy. I mean,
we're
arguing at this moment about whether National Guard troops should be sent to Portland. And I just heard that, after, Trump was prevented from doing that by a judge in Portland, now.
Only for 14
now
days.
Now he's going to send 300 National Guard troops from California into Portland. I mean, we know that people on the national level, there's just a lot of mistrust. There's a lot of people that mistrust Governor Kotek and what happens with our Oregon legislature. And I understand why people on both sides, meaning the other side, Republicans and conservatives, are upset. I mean, liberals like me are upset nationally. People here in Oregon are upset with the governor's politics. But when we get to the local level, I'd always hoped, that here we're dealing with people that we see every day, that they live in Salem. We should be able to trust them. And when something like this happens, and you see that, there's the mayor is lying to her fellow city councilors, and by implication, to all of the citizens of Salem, it just creates, like you just said, a feeling of mistrust that now has seeped down into the local level. I mean, maybe it's always been here. I'm not saying that our local politicians have always been totally upstanding. But on the whole, when I moved here and started following politics, I thought, well, the city council, I may disagree with the conservative positions. For a long time, the conservatives controlled the city council. Then the progressive side took over. And I know they got upset with Mayor Chris Hoy, no namesake of Julie Hoy, but for his position on raising funds and raising taxes, but that's all part of normal politics. But this is different, where it isn't Mayor Hoy's conservatism that bothers me; it's Mayor Hoy's unethical behavior that bothers me. Because once we get into that, then we've just raised all that's going on nationally and brought it down to our local level, which I think is dangerous, where you can't trust your local politicians to tell the truth. Not that any politician always stretches the truth because they're going to want to make themselves look. But in this case, it was an untruth. When I think of Keith Staley, I just think of him moving here, of going through all the effort, of moving from Olympia, Washington, where he was the city manager, to Salem, and then having to resign on the basis of a falsehood, and it ended up costing. I wrote the Statesman Journal front page story today. It was cool that cost the city of Salem $255,845 for 8 months of severance and the payment of accumulated leave. And that happened because if Staley had quit, he would not be entitled to that. But if he was fired because the city council didn't want him, then he's entitled to that back pay. So that's another reason why they may have accepted his resignation, because that enabled him, to get that severance pay. Whereas and he cited that in his resignation letter, that I'm resigning in accordance with this provision in my contract, which I gather is if the city council wants him gone, he gets severance pay. If I quit, any employee, you don't get that severance pay. So it ended up costing, almost $256,000.
$250,000.
Yeah, $250,000 for a lie. And not to mention just the impact on Salem's. Can you imagine the city councilors now sitting there as Mayor Hoy is presiding over meetings, looking at her, thinking, you lied to me about this. what else are you lying about? And that's just destructive to our democracy.
Well, Brian, I think we'll have to leave it there. And I'm sure you're going to continue this investigation, so we might be having you back at some point here in the future when you get some more information. Want to thank you for coming in this morning and talking about it.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Okay. It was fun.